There we go. This is the audit committee meeting for LCRDA, November 15th, 11 a.m. We have a quorum in person. Thank you, gentlemen. Dave Ramsey is with us as well. And introduction of guests. For the record, Allison, Christy, will you introduce yourselves? Allison, want to go first?
Yes, I'm Allison Harrell, the audit shareholder on the engagement.
And I'm Christy Wicker with. I'm sorry, and I'm Christy Wicker with NAI Talcor.
Great. Thank you both. Other guests, right, Ron?
Correct.
Okay. So approval by electronic means. For Dave's approval.
Yes.
So we need a motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. I will third that. So it's unanimous, Peggy. You are official now, Dave. Any agenda modifications?
None.
And no public comments. So we have the meeting minutes from February 2021. Any modifications to that?
Madam Chair, having been its chair of that meeting, I have read the minutes. They appear to be accurate and intact. I'll be glad to make the motion for approval.
Well, thank you for the comment, Dave. I'll say Eric and Keith beat you to it. So
okay, good. I second comment, Eric.
Yes, I'm glad you are good with that. So we've got a motion and a second. So all in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Unanimous. All right. Review of the audit committee charter.
We've got another revised commitment.
Okay.
Actually. Okay, maybe not.
Ray is a member of the committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Ray.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm late.
All right. We actually just got started. We have approved the minutes, and we're just moving on to the charter. So good time.
Good, good.
So Ron, charter is pretty straightforward. Any comments you'd like to?
This is something that's required in the bylaws, and the is that we review this once a year. And if anyone has any comments, questions, you can be to answer those. Or
but there's no changes, nothing like that. This
correct.
Is just our standard mm-hmm. annual update.
And
so
just to make sure that all the members of the committee understand their role and responsibilities.
Sure.
There's only been one amendment to those that item in about 10 years, so they're pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. They've served us well for a long time.
Did you write them, Dave?
I did.
Up on that.
They are good.
So, even though they are good, we will still ask, is there any comments or any concerns? No other changes? All right. So for that, Ron, we should take a vote just to affirm that we have reviewed the charter and we approve as stands, correct?
Sure.
So
the
motion. All right. Dave, you got there quick that time. Good. We got a motion from Dave.
Second
from Keith. All right. All in favor of approving the audit committee charter with no changes?
Aye.
All right, unanimous, thank you all. And yeah, as you said, Ron, this is always very quick meeting, good to review our planning and everything like that. But obviously this is the start of our audit process. So going on to number 8, audit planning discussion. Would you like to introduce this?
Yeah, I can talk to this a little bit. And this is a chance for myself and Christy and Allison to kind of weigh in on what's happening with the audit. And if you want, Allison, I can start with just the as far as any prior audit problems, I don't believe we've had any in a while. The audit schedule, we'll get to the next item. But what I'd like to start with is the changes, some of the changes that have happened in operations. And I'll share this screen with you here real quick. Okay, hopefully everyone can see that. Can everyone see that okay?
Yes.
Good. As I took out the screen, cut. If you're nodding, I can't see. So just in terms of changes in operations and procedures, we did have some policy change, well, actually some procedure changes in August related to the payments via ACH using the Hancock Whitney Bank Treasury Manager. We amended the bylaws. We changed the internal control and operating procedures document, as well as the investment procedures and internal controls. We did provide those to Allison to take a look at before they were approved by the board. But certainly that's something from an operational standpoint the auditors may want to take a look at. And then some other policy changes that really, in my opinion, don't present any significant risk, but we did implement the personnel policy working. And then we also implemented the approved the Family Medical Leave Act policy, which was just implementing the federal law. And then the some more significant things is the grant accounting. So we obviously we're working with the EDA grant and the matching contributions. Those it's the first time we've seen those, at least in my tenure. So those have some very specific requirements as far as how you recognize revenue. And so we've done that, and certainly that's something the auditors want to take a look at. Also, we've added a separate bank account for the Northport Innovation Labs construction that all the revenue and expenses are flowing through. I did this morning, Allison, I uploaded the bank confirmation for that account, which we had not provided before. And then we also have grants. I have it under grant accounting. It's not technically a grant, but the MOU revenue from the Danfoss / Juggernaut deal. We didn't actually receive any of that yet, but we did at least recognize the receivable and the deferred income. So that's something to consider, as well as some other reimbursement type grants from the Knight Foundation, OEB, and from FAMU. So the grant accounting for me is probably something that's different enough that may require some additional attention. And then other pre-audit concerns. Just we have two GASBs that we're, we continue to work on the GASB 68 and item for pension accounting. We still have to wait until January to get that information, which is always, kind of delays the finalizing that, but we've moved the timing to allow for that. And then a new GASB that we're implementing this year is GASB 87, which is the lessor revenue recognition. And I just kind of outlined basically what this is, and we can probably look at this in more detail when we actually get to the next meeting where we're looking at the statements. But generally speaking, it's what's different about it. Instead of recognizing the transactions as they occur, as we receive lease payments, at the inception of a lease, we recognize it sort of like you would a mortgage. It's the present value of the lease payments for the term of the lease, discounted at an interest rate, is booked as a receivable, and then a deferred inflow of resources. And then over as the lease payments are received, then we recognize a revenue component, a lease income component, and an interest component using that same interest rate. And I'm not sure the value of it, but GASB wants it and GASB will get it. but and then there are some other, I think maybe with some more complex leases where it may change the way revenue is recognized a little bit, but and for the most part, with our leases, we're not. I don't think we're going to see a huge difference. biggest challenge we have right now is that we only have 6 long-term leases. And again, this is for long-term leases, not short-term leases. So we only have 6 long-term leases. Yardi, which is the accounting system that the Talcor uses, put a module into their system to actually do this calculation. And it can be actually challenging to do. The math itself is not difficult, but when you have leases and those leases get modified and amended and extended, and all the rules that go in behind all of these different variations are complex. And so they've built this into their software. The problem is Chrissy and I have been working through it, and we can't make it work. So we're still trying to work through all of that. We want to make sure that we don't just plug it in and take whatever Yardi gives us. We want to make sure we understand it and that it's accurate. So it's going to take us a little longer to get through that. Chrissy has contacted their tech support folks, and we hope to have it resolved within the next couple of weeks. But those are the main issues that I see. And I don't know if Chrissy had anything to add to any of that.
I don't. The main thing is the GASB 87 and waiting on them to get back to us.
Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to suggest that anything related to the EDA grant, because it's federal and because it is very unique from a lot of the experience that you've had, Ron, you might want to approach FSU or FAMU, because their grants and contracts people deal with those daily. And I'm sure that there could be an arrangement made where somebody could consult with you, maybe cutting down a lot of the time it takes you to go back and forth with other people away from Tallahassee.
Okay, I appreciate that. This is not, you know, in terms of the grant accounting, this is just applying to GASB. I don't think it's complicated. I just think it's something that I'm sure Allison will take a look at it, since it's something new that we're doing. But yeah, I appreciate that. And we do have good, particularly with FAMU, we have a good connection with their grant folks, because we were a subrecipient on some grants. But we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, it seems like FAMU and TCC have more recent experience with the EDA grants. Eric's nodding, so thank you. Yeah, that was what my thought was. And I know you and Bill have worked closely, particularly with FAMU. But when you said significant, it's more about this being a major change for us, not a significant problem.
Not a problem. But Ray, you are correct, though, and it's probably going to be more in this upcoming fiscal year, because we're going to have a number of different grants, like the ARPA grant, some pass-throughs from FAMU, and the compliance with the grants is a bigger issue than the accounting piece that we're talking about here. But certainly the compliance piece for some of these other grants is something we need a system for tracking these. In the past, there's only been a handful, so we've just done, spreadsheet accounting or tracking. But that's something that's on my to-do list to look at, is there a better way for us to do the grant accounting? So
if you thought you had oversight before, you have not had anything like federal.
I know. And then, which also, brings up the issue of the single audit, which is probably, which isn't going to apply this year, but very well could next year, based on the dollar volume. I don't know exactly the timing of the EDA grant. That could very well put us over the top, depending on when those reimbursements hit. What's the number, Allison? 750,000?
Yeah, 750,000 in expenditures.
Yeah, so clearly the EDA grant is the only thing at this point that's going to put us over that number. And so it's just the timing of the expenditures. If we start in March, we very well could hit, if we start construction in March, we very well could hit that 750,000 by. With the even just the architect and engineering fees is going to be about 1.5 million. So we'll definitely be looking at a single audit next year.
I'm sure you know this, but once you reach that threshold, EDA does not do the oversight, does not do the audit oversight. That's done by two agencies, one of the HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, or the Office of Naval Research. One of those two will be assigned to you. And so you'll be dealing with auditor oversight from those two agencies that have got nothing to do with EDA.
That's very interesting. Okay. Yeah. So it could, that'll be something we will be told by the feds, who's doing that and part of that compliance on their side, part of our requirements. But for us, it could, you've said single audit. So just to make sure we're clear on that, that it would be an audit of those.
Yeah, that's a, it's, Allison can speak to what a single audit is better than I.
Just want to make sure I understand that, or if anybody else has a question,
So basically it's above and beyond the normal governmental audit that you're receiving right now. So we perform, because you are an independent district and a government, we perform the audit in accordance with government auditing standards. The single audit is a grant compliance audit over and above that. So it's almost like a third level to your auditing. You know, you just have the basic audit, then you add on the layer of governmental auditing, then you add the third layer of grant compliance auditing, and you have certain schedules that are then required to be presented with the financial statements, the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, as well as any schedule of findings and question costs. And there's certain requirements that come along with that as well. But it's referred to as a single audit, because if you received other state funds or other federal funds, they don't want to make you get a separate audit for each fund that you receive. You look at it as one grant audit and determine major programs. But with the EDA audit, that would be your only program.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. That's fun. I assumed that's what y'all meant by that, but just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? We've just been on the planning section there and worked through some of the new things we'll be looking at this year, obviously the grant being a big one. So any other, I kind of asked a few questions there. Any other questions or? Okay. So Ray, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. Dave, did you have any other questions or comments on this?
I do not.
Okay. Ron or Allison or Christy, anything else on this list that?
No, I mean, of course, we will, as Ron said, take a look at all of these items during the audit, specifically with the grant, because it's going to be a new stream of revenue. So anything that's been received so far and expended. And then look at the implementation for GASB 87 and determine compliance with GASB 87. So this is very helpful. It kind of gives us a little bit of an insight and map as far as what issues and things we need to look for during the audit process. We've got the audit scheduled for November, the week of November 29th. Of course, as Ron alluded to, we won't be able to complete it until we receive the pension information, which comes sometime in January. We have Chandler Russell, who will be returning on the engagement. She's worked on the engagement for a couple of years, so has some knowledge with the authority. So I don't have anything else to add there.
Okay.
Allison, just out of curiosity, I'd be interested in knowing, if it doesn't take too much time, how many consecutive years our organization has had without a finding of any consideration, of any consequence. 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I don't know.
How about I give you like 75% certainty that I believe it's about 10 years without any kind of significant issue or finding.
That's, boy, I'll tell you, I compliment both our staff, internal and external, for the work they've done. I don't know, it would seem to me like that's a pretty good track record for all the clients you have. I don't know, but I'm proud of the work we've done. I'm proud of the work Ron's done. I'm proud of the work Christy's done. Great work, gang. Let's do it again this year.
I think we're well on our way, Dave. That's it. It's always good to reflect on that, though. That is a long time in a very good place.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah. You're all good. Don't worry.
Apparently, my daughter's going to work. Oh, that's good.
Oh, goodness. Okay. For our furry friends, yeah. Always think about that. Glad you could join us. We're not, we're moving along pretty quickly. So this was really just an update and check-in, as you said at the beginning, Ron, or maybe that was just before we started.
Yeah.
But this is the start of the process. You haven't, you've missed some discussion, but not a whole lot. But Ron, I'm sure you could.
Yeah, I'll brief you after. Let you know. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so Ron, there's nothing we need to approve on that planning discussion or anything like that.
Correct.
That's just general information for all of us.
Yes.
So moving on to the schedule, are we ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. So we just heard Allison mention beginning on November 29th, and that's all waiting on GASB 68.
Yeah, so most of the schedule that I have here is really related to how it fits in with our process. You know, they obviously, Thomas L. Ferguson has their own internal schedule, but to kind of let everyone know this is what we're shooting for. She mentioned the 29th. It'll be January 15th. Somewhere mid-January is when that GASB 68 information gets published. And Allison, in order for us to hit our meeting dates, we'll need to have the final draft audit report through your process, through all your approvals. That's why it says final draft, with the expectation that we will include it in the audit committee agenda packet by March the 2nd to go to the committee for a meeting on March the 9th. And, you know, if you mark your schedule, I don't know that we've formally sent out an invite for March the 9th, but if we can do that date, it would be helpful. But we'll have Peggy send that invite out. And then that will fit in with the committee approving that on the 9th, and then it would go into the executive committee and then onto the board on those dates that you see there. And then we have 45 days after the auditors deliver the report to us to file all the other required reports with the state and the county and others. I always forget that part because it's the earlier 45 days or June 30th. But, and it's never clear to me when it's officially delivered to us. Is it when the auditor delivers it, or is it when the board accepts it? So I just try to do it as soon as we can on that 45 days. And so far, we've not had problems with that. But anyway, that's the schedule. Does that work for you, Allison?
Yes, that works for us.
Okay. Any questions, thoughts about schedule? All right. I'm not sure if this is a factor for any of us. It normally is, but I did notice a week before spring break, just in case, although I have not looked at the university spring breaks. I think that overlaps. That's the only thing that always stands out in March. But on the early end of March, I think the 9th is normally probably pretty good for us. So I know it's good for me. So if you all will check your calendars and we'll get that from Peggy, we'll probably be able to hit that mark, Ron.
Good.
Okay, so do you need an approval of the schedule? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Approval.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Eric, but thank you for taking that. Okay, we got a second from Jante. Okay. Any other comments on the schedule? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Dave was silent, but I saw you say aye. Is that correct? Okay, thumbs up. Thank you. It's unanimous, Peggy. All right, Ron. So that is the last item on our agenda. This is probably one of our quicker meetings, you know, as they go. So that's good. Just get the schedule done.
The development review committee the other day took 10 minutes. So just
okay. Well, we're just not a race, so I'm good with half an hour. Is there any new business? Anything else you need right now? Okay. All right, everybody. Well, good quick meeting. Thank you all very much, those of you joining us, and those of you who got it, thank you. Again, Ron can give you an update on some of the other issues that we covered, just what's new this year. So we stand adjourned.